In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, we have seen from Christ's explanation in verse 18 and 19 that the seed that fell by the wayside and the fowls devoured is described as being the word of the kingdom, and it is caught away or taken away by the wicked one. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And I should repeat again that part of each parable is explained in part of other parables. We have seen in the parable of the mustard seed that this mustard seed was planted, and then it grew into a great tree, and in verse 32, the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Well, now those birds of the air would be the children of the wicked one, for we see in the first parable that the birds or the fowls which devour up the seed are called the wicked one in the explanation of the parable of the sower. You remember several days ago we referred to the grain of mustard seed as being the planting of God's kingdom on the earth. He says the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. All of these parables have to do with the planting of the children of God on the earth to grow into a great nation or a great kingdom ruled by Christ and His Word. Now, in the parable of the sower, the only difference is that the seed sown by that sower is the word of the kingdom, whereas the seed in the parable of the tares and the wheat, there the seed is people, and the good seed are the children of God or the children of the kingdom, those sown by Christ, and the wicked ones, the evil ones, or the fowls or the birds of the air are the children of the wicked one. Let's continue in Christ's explanation of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, verse 20. But he that received the seed, and that would mean he that received the word of the kingdom into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth, or endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. We see this all across the land. I hear from many people who write me and say, well, Pastor Emery, I'm just beginning to understand the gospel of the kingdom that Christ has planted here on this North American continent, his people Israel, and we are the kingdom. We have the tares, we have the wheat, we have the gospel, and we are the subject of all the attacks of the Antichrist. Their attempt to destroy America is their attempt to conquer the kingdom of God upon the earth. But then later I find these people write and they tell me how they have been discouraged. They've tried to talk to their minister. They've tried to talk to their relatives. They've tried to talk to other people in the church. And no one wants this word. People turn away and say, oh, that's a fable. That's a cult. That's British Israelism. And they are, in effect, persecuted for their believing the gospel of the kingdom. And a good percentage of them turn away and go back to their church, shut their mouth, and sit there listening to what they know is false, but they will not put up with the persecution and the condemnation that comes from actually believing and witnessing for the truth of the kingdom. Verse 22 is the other kind. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Now this word, remember, is the word of the kingdom. This is not the gospel of personal salvation that you hear preached so much today. Christ calls this seed, which the devil snatches away, the word of the kingdom. And these people who hear this and begin to understand it find rather immediately that it requires sacrifice on their part. One of the first things that people understand when they begin to hear the gospel of the kingdom is that God's law has not been put away, that the law is still in effect. The only thing put away by Christ on the cross were the blood ordinances, and that leaves in effect God's law on tithing. And this is the great stumbling block that turns many people away from the gospel of the kingdom. Pastor Emory preaches, as do all of the other men who preach the true gospel of the kingdom, that the law of tithing and offerings is still in effect. And you are expected, as one of God's elect, to follow, obey, and act upon His law. And that means giving at least 10% of your earnings to the preaching. Now, this is hard to do for many people who have attended churches where they put $1 or $5 in the collection plate for 10 or 15 or 20 years and have never been told any different. In fact, there are preachers on radio and in churches who preach against tithing as they preach against all of the rest of God's laws. They have created a whole kingdom of sinners by turning us from His law. And here the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, in other words, the desire to have God's money and spend it upon themselves, turns them away from the gospel of the kingdom. Now those people can hardly blame the devil for snatching away the word. And Christ makes it plain. It is the desire for riches which choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The next one, as Christ explains, is the one told in the parable originally as the seed that fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit. Christ explains it in verse 23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word." Now what word? The word of the gospel of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom, and understandeth it. And understandeth it. This is the first one of the four different kinds of people in the parable which actually understands the gospel of the kingdom. He understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Yes, the fruit is not all the same, but again, this is the only one of these different kinds of people that is described by Christ as bringing forth the fruit. And the fruit of the kingdom is that which is the evidence that they have understood that gospel. Now, America has little fruit of the kingdom. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 60% of our people attend some church more or less on a regular basis. But we hear from other sources that over 90% of the students on college campuses attend no church whatsoever. In other words, what is happening? The churches in America are losing their children from their gospel. There is no fruit in the next generation. It almost seems as if the more preaching we have on radio, television, the printed page, and in churches, the less evidence of Christianity we see in America. Why is that? Well, that is because the true gospel of the kingdom is not being taught, but instead Jewish fables, the leaven of the Pharisees, is being taught, and the fruit is not the fruit of Christianity, it is the fruit of Antichrist. That is why America, in spite of the fact that 200 years ago there were no radios, there were no televisions, there were no high-speed printing presses, and in some parts of America the only gospel preaching they heard was when a circuit-riding preacher on horseback came around, but that America of 200 years ago was largely Christian, it was not a sinning people, and most of the people followed to a great extent the laws, statutes, and judgments of God's Word. The amount of preaching was very minute compared to the so-called preaching today, yet our people were turned to righteousness. Why was that? Well, because by and large, the preachers were preaching the word of the kingdom. They're not preaching that today. Now, I would suggest that you people who may scoff at such an analogy, that the America of little preaching of 200 years ago was Christian, whereas the America of much preaching today is almost Antichrist, write to me and ask me for a copy of this 200-year-old sermon that we are offering for this March packet of literature. It's about 45 pages. It was preached by a minister to the members of the civil government of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and his subject was Romans 13 and verse 4, and in this sermon, he taught these men that they were to obey God's law. They were to obey God's law. Today, the Jewish fables of non-obedience and the putting away of the law have so corrupted Christendom that hardly one minister out of 1,000 teaches obedience to God's law. And by the way, this man also identified our people as the children of the kingdom. He calls the people in the United States of America, or what was the colonies then, the branch of the Lord's planting. And he said that we were to be all righteous and inherit the land. He quoted Isaiah, as Isaiah prophesied of the children of Israel in the kingdom of God upon the earth. Yes, America of 200 years ago heard the gospel of the kingdom of God upon the earth. The America of today hears the false gospel that we're all going to heaven and what is happening to this kingdom. It has been taken over by the tares. The tares rule over the children of the kingdom, and we must have the angels of the Lord in order to actually cleanse and remove the children of the devil from this kingdom nation. You write and ask for your free copy of that sermon. It was preached in 1773, and I beg to guess it is one of the best sermons you have ever read. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. The announcer will give the address, and I shall return for more in the parables of Matthew 13 tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, goodbye. God bless you and Christian Israel in America.